you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together on this Friday, February 5th, 2016, the last night and the last morning session, for that matter, of Founders Week Live from the Moody Memorial Church with the great theme, No One Like Him. And it's been a great Bible conference. If you've been tuned in for any period of time, even if it's just for a few minutes, just the worship time and feeling like you're a part of things. I love carrying the live coverage. We do some unique satellite feeds so we can get right to the Moody Memorial Church, and we get the broadcast as it's being presented, as the speakers are sharing, and so it's kind of a lot of fun to be a part of that. And so the morning session will conclude today from 9:30 to noon with Ray Pritchard and Charlie Dates, and then tonight it'll close out at 7 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m. with Ravi Zacharias. But there's been great speakers all week long, and it's a privilege to be affiliated with the Moody Broadcasting Network to be able to provide this on WGNN, and this is the 20th year because we've carried Founders Week since we first went on the air in April of 1996, which makes me mindful of April 7th of this year, and actually that's 62 days out when we'll have our official 20th birthday. It'll be on
April
7th.
Every time you say that number, you start sweating.
I know. You know, I've been feeling kind of the pressure, if you will, for actually some months, because there's so many details and facets to this event. And then we're having the pre-event event, and that'll begin at 4:30 that day. We'll have cake and ice cream available. This is mainly so people with younger children that maybe can't stay out till 8 or 8:30 at night, they can kind of come early, feel a part of things. But Dr. G Brainworks, he's going to have a number of games out there in that food court area. And then we're going to have the Urbana High School Orchestra. They're going to be presenting some live music. And then I'm working with some other Christian artists and musicians to also present. So we'll probably have live music from 4:30 till about 7 p.m.
Wow.
That'll all be happening in that restaurant area. So it'll be game time from about 4:30 to 6. And then kind of the informal ice cream, cake, dessert time will be, it'll obviously be a little earlier, but from 6 to 6:45 is what we're designating for people to come out, get their gift boxes, pick them up, pick up the Lutzer books, and fellowship, and have cake and ice cream and desserts and punch and coffee and other things. And then the formal program will begin at 7 p.m., so that's when we'll want to have everyone seated, and we're going to set up a lot of chairs. That's why we need everyone to RSVP, so we need to know whether we need 600 chairs or 1,000 or 1,200, and that'll be all set up at Lincoln Square Mall on the evening of April 7th, so 62 days away, but it's all coming together. And then we're going to have the post-event event where Dr. Lutzer's staying the night, and you helped think up that idea, and we're going to have him present to area pastors and church leaders. It's going to be a continental breakfast, and we'll have more to say about that probably in the next few days. I'll have that all ironed out and a way for pastors to sign up, because we're going to have a special book giveaway for them, for those that attend that event. So that's all coming together. But please RSVP your intentions. There's some information on our website with the registration. You know, if you're interested in this, do you want to maybe remember a loved one on the program that'll be handed out? And so we want to have the names listed. We're still always looking for business sponsors, people that would say, hey, I'll help financially provide for the Great News Radio listeners so they can come to this event free of charge. And so if you're a business or you can provide a service and maybe a discount, maybe you can provide a 20% off discount on your service or a coupon for your restaurant or knickknack or item that you want to include in this gift box. We're going to be collecting those all the way up to April 1st and having a big gathering of volunteers to put these together. These gift boxes are like 4.5 by 4.5 by 11. So they're nice size gift boxes, and we want to load them up with some fun things, some really good gifts for you, our Great News Radio listeners. And the first 500 households that sign up at our website will be eligible for that. Now, you may say, Mark, I don't have an email or internet access. Can I call in? You can, but we do prefer that you register online. But Karen will take down your name and information and register you if you can't do that. So feel free to call us at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. And we're just gathering together to relish in all that God has done, is doing, and will continue to do in the days ahead. This is our 20th year. It's hard to believe, but thank you, God, for 20 years of providing for this radio ministry, of touching lives, of reaching people. And I'm excited to see how He leads in the days ahead. And it's just going to be exciting. And you talked about it a little bit on Wednesday, Jason, or I got you fired up at the end of the program, the fact that we're called to be missionaries. Mm-hmm. And what I appreciate or love or enjoy so much about this radio ministry is that's what we're equipping people to do daily. Mm-hmm. Wherever they're influencers, whether it's in the family, in the neighborhood, at work, doing their hobbies, they're called by God to represent Him, to kind of be His ambassador, mm-hmm. To be that faithful follower of Jesus, that disciple first and foremost, and then to be the ambassador going out and sharing the good news message. And you started sharing how we're all called to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting when you think about the radio ministry and you think about those people like you, the listeners, who fund this radio ministry, who every month, you know, there's no telethons, there's no, you know, month of trying to raise money for the radio station. It's just your sacrificial giving that makes a radio station possible. And there's something about the whole nature of this that's very biblical. I mean, you know, you think about how Paul would write letters and he would send those out to the churches and it would be a great encouragement to the church. Well, this radio ministry is sending out encouragement to you, the listener, where you're at. You can receive it in your home. Your home suddenly becomes like the Jerusalem or the Samaria or the ends of the earth, wherever it is that you live. We have some people who write in and say they're almost at the ends of the earth in terms of where they live. They listen through the internet to the radio program on either the archive or the streaming audio. And this arrives as a type of encouragement to continue to keep you moving on mission, to keep you going, to keep you, I think that's what your threefold goals, to educate, edify, and evangelize. And so the hope of this radio ministry is throughout, you know, any period of time when you listen to the station, those threefold goals are being met. Those threefold goals are being heard by you. And so you're edifying, you're hearing about who God is and how great God is, and you're being educated. So you're connecting, your faith is growing. That, you know, I would consider education to be horizontal and vertical. Horizontally, we're connecting to others, but we're also connecting to God because we're learning more about Him.
And I love that education facet, and this is going to ring your bell, but we're teaching them biblical values.
Right.
We're not just educating them in knowledge. We're grounded in God's Word. That's first and foremost.
Yeah, this isn't moralism. This is revelation that comes through God in His Word. So the words that you're getting are the words that come that God has spoken through the Holy Spirit, through great cloud of witness, through writers across history. And then evangelize. Well, you're being sent. Where you are, you're being sent. So you're being encouraged. Maybe you're going to hear this message this morning and you're going to feel like, you know what, I can actually go out and make a difference with the gospel. And no matter where you live, you're somewhere in that spectrum that Jesus talked about when you would move from Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the earth. You're somewhere in there.
And what I love about the radio ministry is it's reaching a broad segment of the community, people even far from God or who have never entertained the idea that He cares or He loves
right.
them. And so that evangelistic message is for you, that God does love you, that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you, that He desires a personal relationship. So I'm always praying and asking God, have different people tuning in, learning about God's love so that they can come to Christ and then go and be missionaries for Him.
You know, John chapter 17 and verse 18 says, Father, as you sent me into the world, so I send my disciples. And so what Jesus is saying is as God has sent me, that's John 3:16, what you just said, God sent His Son that we might have eternal life, that we would believe in Him. And so Jesus, being the ultimate missionary, the greatest missionary ever, came into the world, shed divinity, and took on humanity, but so that He could send us, so that we could be equipped by His saving work, be encouraged by His ministry, what He did on our behalf. And so we're called as faithful people then to go out and to share that very thing, because it's always been God's desire to reach out into the world and bring everybody back into relationship with him. And thank God the Bible says in John that we are chosen. We have been chosen by God to be sent to go out and do that. I mean, when you think about that, the weight of God's calling suddenly bears upon us, and you think, my gosh, God chose me for this mission. God chose me for this mission. And the key now, as you rest in kind of this, I have been chosen, is to make yourself available, to move yourself beneath his authority, and then to be obedient. And what does obedient mean? To be obedient to the call of God. And it says in Matthew chapter 28, and we touched on it at the end of the Wednesday program, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The first thing it says here is that the disciples went to Galilee, and then they went to the mountain that Jesus told them to go to. They made themselves available. They said, here I am, Lord, send me. By the way, when Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me, what does God say? Go and tell these people. Mm-hmm. Back in Isaiah 6, the minute Isaiah makes himself available, God sends him. So maybe the first step today is that you need to realize that you have been chosen by God for a purpose that is greater than you know. And you need to say to God, here I am, send me. Send me, Father. And God might just send you down the street, but God may send you somewhere else. You don't know where God's going to send you. He may send you to the grocery store, and you might think, gosh, do I need to go to the store? But you'll meet somebody in there. Many times I have prayed outside the store and said, Lord, if there's somebody in here who you want me to talk to, just let me know who they are. And without fail, I run into somebody and have these conversations. And it's because God desires that we would make ourselves available. We would avail ourselves to him, and that he would strengthen and empower us and send us. Now, when we get sent, how do we get sent? Do we get sent willy-nilly? Do we get sent kind of in our own way? Do we get sent with our own message? No. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And if anybody's fuzzy about what that means, heaven and earth, that's everything. That's all things. You're saying, well, is that Jupiter? That's Jupiter. Is that Pluto? That's Pluto. And what if I'm in a spaceship and I'm flying out near the Milky Way? No, that's heaven. That's the heavens. All of creation, all of that is under the authority of Jesus Christ. Every single bit of it. And that's the authority you go in. And by the way, within that authority is the authority of Scripture. The greatest authority ever. The authority of Scripture. You're under the authority of the resurrection and of Jesus' life and his death, of his propitiation. You are under God's authority. And it was given to him by God. And what's interesting is if we look, that comes from Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, it says, behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came like one of the Son of Man, and behold, and he came from the Ancient of Days. Whenever the Bible says Ancient of Days, it's an Old Testament way of saying God. And was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory in the kingdom, and all the peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion, an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. Now, what makes this passage even more magnificent is this passage is echoed in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, when it says, the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. The Old Testament carried through the New Testament, Scripture bearing witness against Scripture. It's its best witness. And so we look and we say, this is where the authority came from. It came from God the Father, God the Ancient of Days, who always has been, has granted to his Son the authority. Now, some of you are going, wait a second, are they three different people? No, they're the same person. It's the Trinity. Equal in power, distinct in personality, distinguishable in duties. And so here we have the Trinity at work here. But God has given authority to the Son. And Jesus has authority over all things. Let's run down the list real quick here. Jesus has authority and power to send us, authority over nature, authority to forgive sins, authority to stand in our place before the Father and make intercession, authority to send the Holy Spirit to open hearts and minds to reveal the Father, to give eternal life. And he has authority on that last and great day to raise up the dead. Jesus, on all authority in heaven and on earth, is his. But listen, friends, he's not passively sitting up in heaven, waiting to exercise that authority when Revelation begins and it opens. So he's not passively waiting for the day of judgment when he can exercise his authority. His kingdom is active now. His authority is active now. And the living proof of that is that you and I do not go in our own strength and our own power, our own might, and our own authority, but we go in his. And he has given us his Holy Spirit as a sign and a seal of his authority on us. And why does he do that? Because he wants us to move in obedience. He wants us to make ourselves available to him, to say, Lord, here I am and send me. But I need to go beneath your authority, Lord, because left to my own devices, I'm going to worship other things. Remember? Some worshiped and some doubted. And so we need to go beneath God's authority. That's why Jesus, in that next verse, right after the worship and the doubt, Jesus declares his authority. Because whenever there is doubt, Jesus flexes his authority to let you know who is in charge. All authority, heaven and on earth. And then he calls us to move in obedience. Well, what does that look like? Go, therefore. We talked on Wednesday. The go means to go how you're wired. Go how God has gifted you. Go and glorify God. The big thing is to go and glorify God. You know, you can be an actor in Hollywood and glorify God by the things that you do. It's happening right now. You can be a musician making music and performing in front of thousands of people and glorify God. Now, is it going to be as easy? No. It's not, because in those kinds of places, there is the great desire for sinfulness. But God desires that you would glorify him, that you would be a light in those places. Look, if we don't have any Christians in rock music, if we don't have any Christians in Hollywood, then that dark place only gets darker. And so God wants you to go as he's divine. He's divinely gifted actors and actresses and musicians and painters and people of all different kinds of trades and jobs to go out and to glorify him in those places. And what to do, what is we're in those places? To make disciples. Now, a disciple is interesting because the word disciple here means to be a believer and a learner. If it was simply to be a believer, they would have used a different word because there's a word for that. And if it was simply a learner, they would use a different word because there is a word for that. Also, this word specifically, disciple, means a believing learner or a learning believer. A believing learner, because when you believe upon Jesus Christ, your greatest desire is to begin to know more about him, to learn about him. And a learning believer, because as you learn, you grow in their depth of knowledge and faith. You grow in grace and knowledge, and you learn more about Jesus Christ. So you must be a believing learner and a learning believer. And this is something that goes throughout your life. And by the way, Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide or continue in my word, you are my disciple. So Jesus himself says one of the qualifications to be a disciple is one who gets in the Word and loves the Word. If you go, I'm a Christian, but I just don't really read the Bible all that much. Well, then you're not a disciple of Christ, because a disciple of Christ desires to know, desires to learn, desires to grow, desires to do those things. Now, we go into, let's be honest, we go into seasons where that's difficult. We go into seasons where it's hard to get in the Bible. But listen, there is a difference between seasons and the sum total of your Christian life. The sum total of your Christian life is a dry season, then you have a problem. If it's simply a season and you're struggling, yes, and get some people around you. Get some people to help you. Get some people to walk next to you. Get some people who are disciples to disciple you in that moment, to help you.
And didn't you one time, and I know this comes off of some of Bill's materials about disciple making. That's kind of the true indication that you're growing in Christ, is you're helping others become disciple makers that help others become disciple makers.
Yeah, and what you want, I mean, it's an active, it's not a passive. That's why I really don't like the word discipleship, because discipleship sounds passive. It doesn't sound active. Whereas disciple making, I'm doing something. I'm making a disciple. I am actively pursuing the Lord's calling on my life. And when you're making these disciples, what does the Bible say? Make them of all nations. Listen, that means that you go tell all manner of people about Jesus. No one is off limits. Listen to me. No one is off limits. We therefore go and we tell Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and Islamists and atheists and unbelieving neighbors and our believing neighbors, because Paul said, I need to preach the gospel to myself. And so us as Christians, those who believe, we need to hear the gospel ourselves to be reminded of God's grace and his power and his glory. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not loving to not sell somebody the truth. truth. I really felt the weight of this past week, that if I'm going to love people, that means that I have to tell them the truth. And if I love Jesus and believe who Jesus is the pinnacle. He's the greatest expression of love and truth. And so the most loving thing that I can do for people is to tell them who Jesus Christ is. And listen, I understand that you don't want to make people feel bad. I understand that you don't want to be judgmental. I understand that you don't want to offend anybody. But listen to me, friends, if you're caught in a lie or living a life of a lie, the most offensive thing to that lie will be the truth. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus will offend people. Paul said that the gospel is offensive to those who are perishing. Why is it offensive? Because it's an affront to the lie. The truth comes and it casts light on the darkness of that lie. That lie that they're living. And the most loving thing that we can do is to come and tell people the truth. Now listen, we have to do it in all manner of places. Husbands, you need to tell your wives the truth. And wives, you need to tell your husbands the truth. Kids, you need to tell your grandparents the truth. And husbands and wives and grandparents and kids and people in their community and friends and all those people, neighbors, need to begin to tell the truth more and more and more. Why? Because that's the only way we're going to start talking about Jesus Christ. That's the only way that all this falsehood, all this stuff that surrounds us, we need to get out and above and over that stuff with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And then, of course, it goes on to say that we baptize them. Now, listen to me. Baptism, I've often said, is the outward proclamation of inward transformation. Mm-hmm. Water does not save you. You don't get in the water and you get saved. It doesn't work that way. Salvation happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit gives you the faith to believe, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, that no man or woman might boast. And then in that moment enters inside of you and you are radically changed. Listen, I said this on Sunday, and at first I think it kind of took people by surprise. But have you ever seen a salvation? No, you haven't. A salvation is a spiritual transaction. It's something that happens beyond our ability to see. We have seen the fruit of a salvation. We have seen somebody begin to just weep and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but that transaction has already happened. We've seen people get up in the middle of the service and move to the front and respond to the altar call, but that's after the transaction has happened. We have never seen an actual salvation occur, but we have seen the fruit of it, the tears and the weeping and the wailing and the cries for joy that happen when somebody accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we have seen baptisms, this proclamation to the community of faith that I belong to Jesus Christ. And one of the things I think that we really have to remember, that in Jesus' day, in the day of Paul and the apostles, there was no horse trough or baptismal in the church. There was none of that happened. Remember, they met in homes. When you got baptized in the fountain in the town square. And so everybody knew that you had accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not just all the believers in the faith community, but your enemies also knew that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In fact, in some places in the Middle East right now, there are families who hire snipers to sit up on hills, and when their family member is baptized, they try and shoot him and kill him because they'd rather have their family member dead than be a follower of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Look at how they take the war to the followers of Jesus Christ. And so baptism is not salvation, but baptism is the outward proclamation of inward transformation. And then finally, it says, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And one of the most important words, if you were looking at that in your Bible, is the in there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say baptizing them in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity. This is the full weight and measure of the Godhead. You are baptized in this moment into the Godhead. You're baptized under the name of the full weight of who God is, of who God is. It's an amazing moment. It reminds me of the old hymn. It's an uncredited hymn, but it says, God the Father, Son, and Spirit, all around and all within. He's wrapped us in his being. Hallelujah, hallelujah, morning dawns and life begins. And then it says to teach them to obey. And, you know, for a lot of people, the first Bible they'll ever read is you. And so your obedience becomes their obedience. Notice that the verse says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. They're observing, they're watching you. Their obedience comes by watching your obedience. And so, listen, you are not going to make a disciple if they don't see you getting in your Bible. If you malign prayer, if you don't get in your Bible and you don't pray and you don't do those things, how can you imagine that your disciple will do those things? So that person who's following Christ with you. And then Jesus says, lo, I'll be with you always till the end of the age. 27 other times the Bible says that God will be with you. He says it to Joshua. He says it to Abraham. He says it in a number of places, surely I will be with you. This is the only New Testament reference where God says, I will be with you. Jesus says, look at this thing. It's going to be hard. It's hard to go. It's hard to go to all the nations. It's hard to baptize them in the midst of the public square. It's hard. All of this is absolutely difficult. And therefore, I'm promising you that I'm going to be with you the whole time. You're going to go beneath my authority and my presence will be with you. I mean, if you're feeling today like, how do I do this? How do I be a missionary? You never go alone. You don't go to your neighbor alone. Jesus Christ goes with you. He moves with you. I will be with you always and in every situation. And you go in His authority, which means He protects you, blesses you. He keeps you, and He takes the dings. Stop taking evangelism so personally. They don't hate you. They hate Jesus Christ. And you're going not in your name. You're going in the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, friends, go. Go. Get up and go. There's somebody today who desperately needs to hear the gospel message, and you have been called to go.
All right, missionary. Have you been called that lately? Well, we're calling it to you today because it's God's calling on your life. Go with Him because He goes before you and He will order your steps. And as Jason mentioned, pray up when you make that phone call, when you walk out the door, when you get ready to enter that building, when you sit down with that client. Pray that God will orchestrate things so that power, authority, and God's will be accomplished, as it always will be, but be that vehicle, that vessel that He works in and through. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.